Appreciate our friend Brother Chip Stowe and his wife visiting with us tonight. Thank God for them. In honor of him, I'm going to take my coat off and preach tonight. He's dignified, so I'm going to try to undignify him a little bit there. That's what I like about them. They're not that way. They're like us. And I don't know if being like us is good or bad. I've always wondered that, but you just never can tell. I know this. I feel warmed and loved by everybody here tonight. How about that? Dignified crowd don't always make me feel like that. Make me feel like I need to go out and buy two new Cadillacs and a Lincoln just to keep up half the time. I like the idea. I just don't like the payments, you understand? Revelation chapter 13. As you know in the Bible, the number 13 is the number for sin and rebellion. And as we get to Revelation chapter 13, it starts off in verse 1 telling us about somebody. It says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, and having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the number of blasphemy." I want to point out to you that when I hear somebody say they're in beast mode, I always think about him. Huh. I always think about that, and I don't know if I just... I don't understand the youth culture or whatever, which I probably shouldn't be. I'm 46 years old, but I just know when I see that and I hear the word beast, I think about this. Yeah. And it says in verse 2, "And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." Now, don't you notice here, he's got heads, plural. And listen, when you find more than one head, you find more than one authority, and that's where you see Satan get involved in something, man. So this beast is a perfect picture of that. He is the one that's rebellious towards authority, and he says, "I saw one of his heads that were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast." That dragon's the devil. Right. "And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is likened to the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." You better be very careful when you call out the devil. He has the power to make war and overcome you.
Right.
I've heard people say, I'm a Christian. When I get down and pray, the devil trembles. I got news for you. He gets down and prays with you.
Yep.
He ain't scared of you.
Right.
Yep. You read these little cute little things on the internet. It says, when the weakest saint gets down, all of hell trembles and the devil goes into hiding. I beg your pardon.
Well,
he's not at all intimidated by a prayerless Laodicean apostate church.
Right.
I look in here and I find out it says that he was wanting to make war with the saints. Sounds like things ain't going to change too much, is it? And it says there in verse number 8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear." As we look in Revelation chapter 13, the key verse is verse 6. Where he opened his mouth to blaspheme against the Lord there. And we got 18 verses and 538 words in this chapter, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible. But I want you to notice something. When we get to this chapter, anytime you deal with the devil, things get difficult. This one shoots up to a 7.13 grade level. I remember when we was looking at Genesis 1, 2, and 3, the first two chapters were low grade level, and 3 shot up a little bit because the devil showed up. Ain't it funny how he gets into something, it gets all difficult? Listen, I believe the Bible's true, and it says, "For God is not the author of confusion." This guy right here is.
Yeah.
And I see the outline of Revelation chapter 13, just two simple points. Number one, verses 1 through 10, it talks about the beast of the sea, and then the last 7 or 8 verses there covers the beast of the earth. And as we look at this tonight, I want to remind you that if you have one Bible, the devil's going to have many false Bibles. If you have one church, he's going to have false churches. Can I remind you tonight that his false Bibles and his false churches deny the doctrine of the Trinity of God?
Right.
Their main argument in these apostate churches is this: that the word Trinity does not appear in the Bible. Neither does air conditioning, but boy, y'all sure do like them.
Yeah.
Neither does padded pews, but y'all sure do like them. Neither does indoor plumbing, but I bet you've got one in your house, you wicked thing, not having something in the Bible in your house. But I do know this, the word Godhead's in the Bible three times. I know that when we look at the Godhead, that is the Trinity. That's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I know when we get to 1 John 5:7, one of the most attacked verses in the entire Bible, according to the reprobates that try to do these translations, they say that that shouldn't belong in the Bible because it's not in the oldest and best manuscripts. Let me tell you a little secret they're not telling you. In the oldest and best manuscripts, they don't contain past Hebrews chapter 9. That's the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. Past Hebrews 9, there is nothing. So if they're not in the oldest and best manuscripts, that takes out Hebrews chapter 10. No wonder that crowd likes to lay out of church and shut down on Sunday night and Wednesday night. No wonder, listen, no wonder they don't like the man of God because they don't respect or obey his authority because they have no Hebrews 13 in the oldest and best manuscript. No wonder, listen, no wonder they won't contend for the faith. They don't have a book of Jude. Isn't that something? You get all that there? And no wonder they're deceived so bad because their adversary that walks about as a roaring lion is seeking to devour them. They have no 1 Peter. And no wonder they don't believe in the end times and are swayed by Calvinists and these amillennialist crowd and these Catholics is because they have no book of Revelation in the oldest and best manuscripts. Kind of all makes sense, doesn't it? But I want to preach to you tonight on a subject I don't even like to preach on. It's called the Satanic Trinity. Let's go to the Lord and pray and ask for His protection. Father, we love You. God, as we come to You, we know the devil don't tremble when we pray. But God, we're two or more gathered. There You are in the midst. And I pray Your protection over this service. God, that You'd be with me and help me to preach tonight. Keep me from being distracted. Lord, I pray, God, for everybody here, God, that You'd make sure that we stay on the same page in Scripture. That, Lord, our hearts be united in love as we look at the Word of God. You'd open Thou our understanding. May we hold wondrous things out of Thy law. And, Lord, we pray, God, that You'd expose the truth of Scripture. Lord, help us to understand this subject so we'll be able to follow You better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look tonight, as we look towards this satanic trinity, I'm going to give you some descriptions of these fellows, starting off in Revelation chapter 12. If you'll back up a chapter there. Revelation chapter 12. As we start off, listen, the satanic trinity and the members of it are called several things throughout this thing. They all equal to the same thing, one devil, Satan. Satan is still alive and well, and if you don't believe in the devil, he's got you half-fooled already. But if you believe the devil's a little guy that sets up in a red suit with pointy ears and sits on your shoulder and stabs you with a pitchfork every once in a while, you are a truly deceived person. Listen, the devil don't come to you and tell you, I'm fixing to ruin your life. He comes to you and tells you, I'm the Holy Spirit. I'm here to lead you in life.
Right.
The devil don't come to you and say, well, I know this is adultery in the Bible. No, the devil comes to you and says this, I'm the best looking one you've had yet. Amen. And he tries to drag you off with everything under the sun.
Right.
That's the devil.
Right.
The devil's not them frogs on the beer commercial. He's the Budweiser girls.
Right.
The devil is not the one that's sitting around saying, I hope I might can beat God. He thinks he's got him beat. That's the devil. And he's called in Revelation chapter 12. He's called in verse number 3. If you look down at verse 3, the great red dragon. It says here, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. He's the great red dragon. Listen, you may not believe in the devil, but the Chinese do. You ever went to a Chinese restaurant? What color is the dragon in there? Same color every time, just about. Red dragon. He's all across that wall, the great red dragon. See, a lot of folks, they say, well, that's just a symbol. Not to them people, it ain't. Because that little brass god with the big fat stomach, they give him more fruit than they give her children. It's real to them. I see that he's called the great red dragon because of his vast power. In Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, when he tempts our Lord, he doesn't say, I'm going to give you something I don't have authority over. He says, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world because he already has authority over them right now. People say, our country's in a mess. I wonder why it's having its strings pulled by somebody.
Right.
I see that folks say, well, we don't have a Christian nation anymore. Check your history. We never did.
Yeah, right.
The guy that's on the $100 bill never believed in God a day in his life. You know, y'all like them the most, right? The $100 bill.
That's right.
Ain't it funny how that guy's picture shows up on that one?
Mom.
And the guy that cannot tell a lie on the dollar bill? Listen, I've heard all the stories strange in my life, but if you told me a man lived on this earth and never lied outside of Jesus Christ, I think you're lying.
Yeah.
I cannot tell a lie. Chop down the cherry tree. That's interesting, ain't it? Was that in the Bible or in the Constitution? I can't remember which book that was in. But the great red dragon, he's great because of his vast power. He's red because he was the first murderer. Jesus identified him in John 8:44 when he said, "You're your father the devil." He said he was a murderer from the beginning. That's him. Great red, and then the word dragon because of his viciousness. In 2 Corinthians 6:15, he's vicious. He don't play. There are homes that are tore apart because of this dragon. There are officers getting shot right now because of this dragon.
Right.
There are people protesting in the streets because of this dragon.
Right.
They don't even realize who's making them do it.
Yeah.
He's vicious.
Right.
If you want to go back and look at all the tragedies where one army attacked another and for literally no reason and things like that, look no further than him. He is the one behind it.
Right. Yep.
He's vicious. When you read on the news how things happen and they say, "Well, this happened and this small child was hurt and this way and all," that's the devil. That's the great red dragon. He's at work. And you say, "Why don't God do anything about it?" He's tried to. We always kick him out of the schools, kick him out of the courthouse, kick his word off the courthouse lawn. We don't want to have anything to do with God. God said, "Okay, if you want to handle it, I'll let you." You can see that over and over. We wonder why the public schools are a mess. My God, look who we threw out in the 60s. And we ushered in this one right here, the dragon. In Revelation 12:9, it says, "And the great dragon was cast out," watch this here, "that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." He's not only the great red dragon, but he's that old serpent. Old, which takes us back to the Garden of Eden, where he's been around for quite a while. He shows up there, listen, he shows up there lying. Do you ever notice that the first words in the New Testament is a man asking a deceptive question? "Where is he that's born king of the Jews?" But if you go back to the Old Testament, to the first one speaking over there, they asked a question. Who was it? "Yea, hath God said that you shall listen." Isn't that something? When somebody asks a question on this earth and both Testaments start off with, one's the devil and the other one's just like him. He's there. He's putting power behind him.
Right.
He's old, and he's the serpent, which reminds us of that first body he used, which was a snake. He's the devil in Revelation 12:9 here. He's the one who slanders, and he's the one who also in this verse is Satan. And the word Satan means the adversary. When I mentioned 1 Peter a while ago, 1 Peter 5:8 says that your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I found out something. I like to watch specials on animals sometimes, and I love to watch the ones where they eat things. I like eating so much, I like it when they eat. But if you're watching lions out there, there'll be one lion. He's the one that walks out there and struts and is proud, and he'll start roaring. And if he can get that herd or whatever it is to just all of a sudden hear that roar and hear that fear and take off running, he does. But in the meantime, there's two female lions, which are both his. They're crouched down, and their color's the same color of the weeds they're in. You never see them until they get you. You let one animal run by in between them or near them, the first one will attack the hindquarters, the other one gets the front quarter. They'll take that thing down, and once they have it where it ain't moving, there he comes. And that's just like the devil. He'll get two of his people. It'll hit you on one side and hit you on the other. And then when you're down, then he comes up and says, "Oh, I did that."
Yeah.
And he'll devour you. He'll devour your home. He'll devour your children. He'll devour your grandchildren. He'll devour your heritage. He'll take everything he can get his hands on.
Right.
Somebody said, "The devil can't get me. I'm in Christ Jesus." Correction, he can't get your soul, but he'll take everything else.
Come on.
I've heard people brag how that the devil can't get them no more, and I'm thinking he's already got you right now, and he's got his hand up your backside talking for you. You are not just a dummy, you are the dummy at that point.
Yeah.
"The devil can't get me." Yeah, I bet so.
Come on.
He's already got you.
Yeah.
I see he's called Satan in verse 9. He's also called the deceiver of the whole world. The deceiver of the whole world. He not only deceives men, but angels. We're told his tail literally drew out all these angels out of the stars of heaven. And apparently it's a reference to the number of angels Satan persuaded to join him when he revolted against God in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28.
Yeah.
He's the deceiver of the world. When somebody deceives you, don't be shocked. Listen, I had a man one time, and he come to this church. He was broke down. He said that he lived in Mississippi, Louisiana, one of them states where they don't have all their teeth down there. I forget which one it was. It wasn't West Virginia, though. Shout out to my friends in West Virginia. But he said this. He said, I'm a Baptist. He said, my pastor's such and such. I need this. I need some gas to get down to home and all this other stuff. And I was a young preacher. Listen, I had all my hair, and I was still kind of thin back then. I told him, I said, tell you what, I'll let just after service, I'll get you some money and so forth, help you out. Well, we did. We got him some money and stuff and got him enough to get home on and all that. And when I got up to Pop's Corner up there, I'll never forget this. He come in the store same time I was there. Come in and bought beer and everything else and got gas and all that. Wouldn't even speak to me in there with a check that had my signature on it. Wow. And I thought, I thought, I got took. Yeah. But you know what? That ain't the first time I got took. It don't happen a lot, but it does happen. And when I thought about that, I look back on that one situation, I say this. Boy, the devil can use anybody against you saying anything, but use this what you want to hear when they say it. Hey, he deceives the whole world.
Right.
He's the father of all lies. Hey, no wonder his children lie like that. He's the persecutor of the woman in Revelation chapter 12, verse 4.
Yeah.
And listen to this. If you'll notice this thing, and his tail drew out the third part of the stars in heaven, did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. That woman's Israel.
Right.
And he hates that woman.
Yes,
right now, she's currently estranged from her husband, but during this time of great tribulation, God's going to deal with that.
Right.
And just so everybody knows this, Israel and the church are two different things. God recognizes the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. The Jew, which is this woman here, the church, which is all members of the Gentiles and Jews born again and seen Christ. And as we look at that, he would devour them people right now if he was given the chance. He hates them so bad that he's got his children over there, the liars that they are, saying they're Palestinians. Do you know before the 20th century no such animal ever existed in this world? Do you know that all them Muslims over there that lay claim to all that, they're not the chosen race?
Right.
It didn't come through Ishmael, it came through Isaac.
Right.
And I see that he hates the woman, he persecutes her. In verse 5 it says, and she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates Christ.
Yeah.
Why do you think you find so many people making fun of Jesus? I know this. If we make fun of Allah tonight and put a little cartoon in the newspaper about it, they'll be down here to cut heads over it.
Yeah.
You put that thing about Jesus, they'll put that on the Comedy Channel and make a movie about it.
Yeah.
That's how wicked it is. But no doubt the reason being is because of who they serve and what he hates, they hate. I want you to look over Daniel chapter 8 for a second. We're going to turn some places in the Bible. I want to show you some things. Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. If you look down at verse number 23. Daniel chapter 8 verse 23. These are some, those descriptions we just saw show us some things about the Satanic Trinity. Here's some more. Here's some characteristics about them. And about the Antichrist in general. In Daniel chapter 8 verse 23 says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. This Antichrist will be an intellectual genius. I've had people ask me, do I think Barack Obama's Antichrist? I said, he has not the IQ level to be considered a genius.
Yeah. Amen.
People have asked me several times, they said, well, do you think it could have been this one or that one? When I was a kid, the popular answer was Ronald Reagan. Because Ronald was six letters, his middle name was Wilson, that's six letters, and Reagan was six letters. That had to be the Antichrist. You know, that's what people said.
Well,
Reagan lived and died, and, well, he's been dead a while now. So it wasn't him. But I find it odd that they're always looking for the Antichrist. They're never looking for Christ.
Yeah.
That's always been strange to me. Look over Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. The Bible tells us not only be an intellectual genius, he'll be an oratorical genius. He'll be able to speak like no other man can speak. It says in verse 36, "And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done." Nobody will be able to speak like this man. I see several pictures of him in our current day where these preachers will start a church and they'll preach against the Bible. And there'll be people flocked in there to hear him. They'll now have to build bigger churches. Then they'll have to go out to satellite campuses and everything else, because for some reason they can preach against the Bible and draw more than John the Baptist could preaching the Bible. And the Apostle Paul, who was helping write the Bible, he can draw a bigger crowd than him.
Right.
And listen, when you see somebody who can preach like that, be very careful about him.
Right.
See, this will be a religious man.
Yep.
He'll be able to speak. Listen, when he takes the floor in the UN, they'll vote him in as the president right there on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
When he goes over to address the Roman Catholic Church, they'll say, get that guy in that white dress out of here and give that white dress to this man.
Yep.
He'll take power of it right then.
Yep.
He will also be a political genius. The Bible tells us, and just hold your place right here, I'm going to read you a couple of things. Revelation 17, verse 11 and 12, "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which thou hast received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." He's going to be a political genius. He'll be able to come in, and listen to this, he'll do something that nobody's ever done in America. He'll unite the Republicans and the Democrats and the Tea Party and everybody else and the Independents and everything. There'll be one political party under him. He'll go over to Europe and he'll get that European Union back together. They'll say, "Well, wait, preacher, didn't Britain pull out?" He'll pull them right back in. And he'll take and he'll go down to Africa and he'll take all them warring tribes and them factions down there and he'll make them all at peace one with another. They'll follow him politically. There won't be nothing this man won't run for that he can't get, and he'll get it like that. His speaking ability, his political genius, and everything like that. But he's also a commercial genius. In Revelation 13, verse 16 and 17, he says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." If you look at Daniel chapter 11, down at verse 43, it says, "But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps." Wow. Isn't it odd that Libya shows up in the Bible right there?
Yeah.
You know, you may not know this, but do you know who one time owned Libya? We did. Did y'all know that? Abraham Lincoln, you know the dude on the $5 bill? Him. He bought Libya, and he hated black people so much, he bought Libya with the idea of shipping every one of them back over there and giving them 40 acres and a mule. So when black people say 40 acres and a mule, that's the guy that's going to give it to you, but he's going to give it to you in another country. It fell through when he was assassinated in that Kennedy Theater that night. But here's the thing. Oh, all this is available to go look up in the Library of Congress. I mean, it's not. I didn't make this stuff up. It's too strange to make up. But it's kind of strange how this crowd shows back up when just recently we went down there and toppled a dictator because we don't own it no more.
Yeah.
But yet we went down there and took him out of power because we put him in power. Now figure that thing out.
Yeah.
You ever wonder why Saddam Hussein was such an important player for us? It wasn't because George Bush didn't finish him off and George W. Bush had to go back. No. We put him in power to go against Iran. And when he double-crossed us, we took him out. Isn't that something? We got some major playing going on here. And then that name Libya shows up and all the Ethiopians show up over there. Hey, he's a commercial genius. He'll be able to pull them right in. Don't worry, if you don't get saved and the rapture happens, he'll give you more than what you originally was intended for. You'll think he's the greatest thing in the world. Nobody can promote things like him. He will also be a military genius. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow, and had a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." His bow has no arrows. And it says in Revelation 13, 2, "And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." He's not only going to be a commercial genius, he's going to be a military genius. I've read stories about military geniuses. I watch programs on TV and things like that. But there's going to be none like this man.
Right.
He's going to come along and he's going to tell that army how to flank this side, go up here, do this. He's going to have a spy ring as big as they come. He's going to be able to take down anybody that opposes him, either by force or by truce, however they want to do it.
Right.
They won't be able to challenge him during this time. He's going to have the reins and the authority to do what he pleases.
Right.
If you'll notice, he'll be a religious genius. The Bible tells us, if you look over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's go over there. While you're turning there, I'm going to read you something. He'll be a religious genius. In Revelation 13, verse 8, the Bible tells us, you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, this religious genius that talked about Revelation 13 is this one. He says in verse 4, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." This religious genius is going to show up, and he's going to do something that none of these religious outfits can do today. No matter what their ecumenical ties are, there's always going to be some that's not going to follow.
Yeah.
When they come together and say, "All of us Baptists, we need to get together and cooperate against whatever," you better watch out and follow the money on them things.
Yeah.
I remember there's a thing called Promise Keepers that came along, and everybody said, "Man, we need to get it behind that and follow that thing." And you go to one of them things, and they have the Church of God and the Assembly of God and the Pentecostals, and there was Mormons there and Baptists and all of them together. And they said, "You know what, this is so good, we need to have big football stadiums full of men to get in there and stand together for the things of God." And they'd bring in Methodist preachers and Episcopal preachers and all this other stuff and bring everybody together. Always follow the money. I called Texas Stadium to find out how much it would be to rent Texas Stadium. They'll rent it to anybody if you've got the money. That was back before they tore that one down. They'll rent that new one to you now. It's a little bit more pricier now, though. But to rent that thing versus one stage with seats all on the football field and the whole bowl filled up with people paying up to $100 to $150 a piece, not counting the book sales, made that rent price like a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
Follow the money.
Yeah.
Most of these ecumenical movements today, they're just designed for money. That's all they are. But I notice this one's not going to be, because this one leader's going to come in and bring them all together.
Yeah.
It don't matter what flavor they claim they are, they're going to be his flavor when he gets done with them.
Right.
They're going to drop all these denominational lines, and they're going to fall in together. And they're going to think to themselves, "He's Christ like he said, because only Christ said he'd bring peace to this earth." Mm-hmm. That's what they're going to say about him, because he's going to claim he's God. See, we see all these things about his descriptions and his characteristics, but he also has names and titles. If you look in verse 3 of this same chapter, there's two titles of him mentioned. It says there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." First name's the man of sin. He is the man of sin. Not a man of sin, the man of sin.
Yeah.
He's also called the son of perdition. So you got the man of sin. He's the son of perdition. If you look down in verse number 8, here's another name for him. He's the wicked one. It says, "And when that wicked shall, and then shall that wicked be revealed," in verse 8, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming. He's the man of sin, the son of perdition, the wicked one. In Daniel 11:36, he's the willful king. And the Bible says, and the king shall do according to his will. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. He's going to be the king that he has his own will. And everybody has to change to suit him or they die. That's how vicious he is. Listen, we talk about his names. We looked at the beast a while ago. That's number 5. Daniel chapter 7 verse 8 calls him this. He says, and I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there was were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, the mouth speaking great things. He's also called number 6, the little horn. What I just showed you is something that when I studied the Bible and I ran across this, it got me. Look at Revelation chapter 13, back where we started. Revelation chapter 13, look down at verse 18. It said, here is wisdom. This is a satanic trend that's showing up right here. Let him that had understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Listen to this. I gave you 6 descriptions of him, 6 characteristics, and 6 titles, and he comes up with the number 666 right here in this verse. So what's that? That's your satanic trinity. I've heard people say, well, how can you tell it's him? Well, I'll give you a clue. When this devil shows up, it's not going to be a reincarnated body he's coming in. He's going to pick from one of the 7.5 billion that's on this earth right after rapture, and he's going to inhabit one just like that. Because remember, the Holy Spirit's going to be pulled out of here.
Yeah.
I've heard people speculate, was the Antichrist alive right now? Yeah, he's just not on earth yet.
Well,
he'll step in right at the time appointed as soon as the Holy Spirit of God's taken out of here.
Yeah.
See, he can't show up and do that until the Holy Spirit's taken out. That's why there's got to be a rapture of the church before he shows up.
Right.
See, listen, as we look at this thing, I've gave you a lot of bad news. I probably made some of you afraid, and rightly, you should be afraid of this person. But you don't have to be here when he shows up.
Right.
We looked over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, just stay right where you're at. The Bible says, and then that shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. When the end of the tribulation gets here, Jesus is coming back with his church that he raptured out here to start with, and he's coming back.
Yeah.
And he's not going to come and have to fight with his fist.
Right.
He's going to speak that crowd until there's blood all up to a horse's bit.
Amen.
He can still do that.
Yeah.
Why do you think they're afraid of the Bible and taking it out of schools and things? Because it's still the same word.
Right.
It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It brings blood every time it goes. But if you look back in Revelation chapter 1, I'm going to give you some encouraging words about he that's coming. He's coming on a white horse, because the devil mocked that thing over there. He's coming on a white horse. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Let me let you on a little secret tonight that the devil don't want you to know. You know, a lot of people think the devil's in hell shoveling coal on them. He can't even get in the door.
Mom.
You know why? Our master has the keys.
Right.
You ever wonder why the devil's in heaven accusing people? He can't get into hell. He wouldn't go there if he could.
Yeah.
He's on this earth running to and fro. He's accusing the brethren.
Yeah.
But somebody's coming that's going to destroy him with the spirit of his mouth, the brightness of his coming, somebody that has already tasted death for us and has come up from the grave. And he not only came up from the grave, he came up with keys in his hand.
Amen.
Listen to this, friend. You can't die without him unlocking a door for you to go.
Right.
Even people who get all stupid say, I'll show you, I'll kill myself. I've heard too many people give testimonies how they took a loaded 357 Magnum and the thing clicked when it should have fired. You don't go till he says go.
That's right.
Even these people that's God-denying, atheists and everything else, that say, I don't believe in God. You can't check off his earth unless he gives you the way to go.
Right.
All you got to do is come to him and believe on him and his shed blood for your sin, and you'll never have to face this wicked satanic trinity, not one day after the rapture, because when the rapture comes, he'll take you with him. But just in case you go before the rapture, we'll see you there. Thank God. Listen, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for his soon coming. Thank God that while it's all messed up down here, it's already settled in heaven. Thank God while we're here tonight, it seems like we have no hope. We've got plenty of hope because Jesus is on the way. Let's stand tonight with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we do love you.